Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Lamed Bet Amud Bet. Yesterday we left off with the Gemara's question within the position of Rava. Rava just made a distinction with the tree as to with regards to whether the tree was in within the scopa shalir, was in the perimeter of the city, or whether it was outside the perimeter of the city. Because if the tree was within the perimeter of the city, since that area is considered to be like Dalet Amot, it's qualified in Tchumin, or Vlagabe, Eruv Tchumin, it's as if it's a private domain. Since this is as if a private domain, even if the bread is bound up in the tree, it would still be a Reshuta Yachid. Even if you were at the base of the tree, and the bread was above 10 Tfachim in the tree, it would still be in the same domain, because we look at the city as if it's filled, as if it is a Reshuta Yachid. Again, it's a fictitious Reshuta Yachid. It's not really a Reshuta Yachid. You're having your Shvita in the Reshuta Rabim. And if you really took the Challah from the Reshuta Yachid down to the Reshuta Rabim, you would be Chayav Rotzan Shabbat. But the Gabe Erev Tchumin, since that area is classified as Dalet Amot, we look at it for purposes of Erev Tchumin as if it's a Reshuta Yachid. And you and your Eruv are in the same area because of that. Then we asked on Rava from his own position, which Rava says that if a person has a roof grants him the Arba Amot, four Amot around it, and since he's granted the four Amot around the Eruv, and you only start counting his 2,000 Amot from outside of that four Amot, you're faced with the same situation when you have an Eruv. When you place an Eruv down, you basically, in the area of the Eruv, you have a Reshuta Yachid, or this fictitious Reshuta Yachid that's created for the Erev Tchumin, because you only count your 2,000 Amot from outside of that perimeter of the 4 Amot that's around the Erev Tchumin. Rava's din is actually said in a situation in which the Erev Tchumin is found outside of the Tchum of the city, but it's only 2 Amot out of the city, then because of the 4 Amot around the Eruv, it's as if a portion of the Eruv is still within the Tchum. That's where Rava's din is said. That because the Eruv itself has a span to it, it's not just where the bread is, but it's the Arba Amot around it, so even if the bread was outside the 2,000 Amot that you need to get there, if it's within a couple of Amot of the Tchum, it would be as if it's still inside because of that span. But based on that, that would also indicate that Rava thinks that the space around the Eruv Tchumin should also be a Reshuta Yachid. If that's the case, why did Rava only say his din when the tree is inside the city? Even if the tree is outside the city, if your bread is up in the tree, then from all that area is considered to be a Reshuta Yachid, because you are at the trunk of the tree resting at the bottom. You have an Eruv there. That's your intent to rest over there. If that's where your Shvita is, that means that you have the four Amot around you and up to the Rakia. Now again, you are within the same domain as your Eruv, because that's your private domain. It's up in the tree in the private domain. Now they share that private domain, and it's as if you and your Eruv are in the same place. Again, fictitiously, because it's only true by Erev Tchumin. From anything else in Shabbat, it would still be Reshut HaRabim on the base and Reshut HaYachid up in the tree. So because of that, the Gemara says, I don't understand why Rava makes a distinction of inside perimeters of the city versus outside. The same should be true even by the tree itself. So now we'll have the first answer, which is the second to last line on Lamed Ben Amud Bev, which is Amar Rav Yitzchak Brei Demesharshia, Hacha Bilan Hanote Luchutz Learba Amot Askinan. Talking about here, a tree which extends outside of the four Amot. So you want to have your Shvita at the trunk of the tree, and you have your Eruv up in the tree. We said before that would cause a problem for Rava because of the four Amot span around that you get for your setting up your Shvita there, which would make the whole area a private domain. Gemara says that one of the boughs of the tree extends beyond the four Amot. And extending beyond the four Amot, now your Eruv is outside of your four Amot. So if it's outside your four Amot, then we lose that ability to say you and your Eruv are in the same location, because your four Amot end before you reach the Chala, or the Eruv Tchumim that's in the tree. So now, it's outside the four Amot, because the bough of the tree extends beyond the four Amot. V'nitkaven lishbot b'ikaro, and your intention is to have your Shvita at the base, the trunk of the tree. Then the Gemara says, okay, that's a nice explanation, but what do you do with the words then, maila mala or maila mato? We said before that when we're talking about the tree, it's the mala miyud and the mata miyud, above 10 and below 10. Now above 10 and below 10 is the proper description when you're talking about something that's upright. When it's upright, you say it's above 10 or lower than 10. But if something is horizontal, and you have a bough or a branch that's sticking out horizontally that goes beyond the four amot, well, you wouldn't say lamalo ulamato. You wouldn't say up high or down low. You'd rather say, as Rashi points out, that you would use a lashon gavoa v'namuch. You would say something is higher or lower, not the malo lamato. So it's the wrong terminology to be used if you're not talking about something that's upright. Something's upright, like a tree that's going straight up. You'll say lamala up high in the tree, or lamata down lower on the tree. But if you're talking about the bough that's extending out horizontally, you're not talking about the chala itself or the eruv itself, you're talking about the branch. So the branch is either low on the tree or it's high on the tree. It's not lamala lamata. And so therefore the terminology lamalamata won't fit on that description. So he says, no problem. The hadar zakif, that the branch then goes upright. I would say the equivalent of holding your elbow at a 90 degree angle. So your arm until your elbow is the branch of the bough going out beyond the four amot. And then your forearm, which is now upright, is the remainder of the branch. It now goes upright. So now the lamalamata will apply to that upright piece, because now it is up and down. Now you can use lamalamata to describe it. And we'll still have eliminated the problem, or the question that we asked on Bobo is, don't your four amot create a reshut yachid? The answer is that it's beyond the four amot. So now, if it's above 10 tefachim, then the eruv is in a private domain. It's in a reshut yachid, because the bough or the branch we assume is 4 tefachim wide. And so since it's above 10 tefachim, now that eruv is in a reshut yachid, you are at the base of the tree in a reshut rabim, and even if we grant you the four amot around you, that is considered to be your private domain for eruv tchumin, you still don't reach the eruv. And since you don't reach the eruv, you and your eruv are not in the same domain. Now, if it is below 10 fachim, then it's in the airspace of the reshut rabim. If it's in the airspace of the reshut rabim, you and your eruv are within the same domain. Now Rashi says, in that case, you can still bring it to yourself, because you can bring it pachot pachot mi'arba amot. You can carry it less than four amot at a time. We know that to be chayav for carrying a reshut rabim, you have to carry a minimum of four amot. If you carry less than four amot, that's an isur dirabanan. So if you were to move it less than four amot, start, stop, less than four amot, you'd only be in violation of an isur dirabanan. We said before that our situation here is based on the Tana Rabbi, who says that ben hashmashot were not gozer on dinei derabanan. So since ben hashmashot is no dinei derabanan, if you can bring the eruv to where you are having your shvitah through an isur derabanan, that'll be okay, because you're koneh your eruv ben hashmashot, and ben hashmashot there is no isur derabanan of pachot pachot mi'arba amot, and therefore Rashi says you can bring over the eruv if it's less than 10 tefachim, if it's in the airspace of the reshut harabim. That's the way Rashi explains it. But the Ri, Mari, Mefarish, Tosafot brings that the Ri says, oh, Rashi wanted to explain that, because even if the bow or the Eruv is far away from where you are, you could still bring it. But the Ri says something else. He says, Dafilu b'muflag tuva, even if it's far away, Yecholo licho b'vatachat, you can walk in one straight line, you don't have to do this, pacha pacha mitar ramot, amakum shvitato, to where you have your shvita at the trunk of the tree. The cave into okromi karmelit, shuvenu mitchayev, behanachto el mishum shvut. Remember, we said that the branch is 4 tefachim wide. 4 tefachim wide, above 10 tefachim, is a reshut yachid. Below 10 tefachim is not a vir reshut rabim, it is a karmelit. A karmelit is a reshut de rabbanan. It's a reshut de rabbanan to carry from a karmelit to a reshut rabim, or from a karmelit to a reshut yachid, is an isur de rabbanan. So that means that if you go ben hashmashot and you were taking this chala that's sitting on the tree, on the branch of the tree below 10 tefachim, more than 4 amot away from you, you pick it up, you bring it to where the trunk of the tree where you're sitting, all you've done is moved it from a karmelit to a reshut rabim, which is only an isur derabanan. And so the Ri says you don't have to do any of this pacha pacha midalat amot. You could just simply say, had I picked up the chala from the end of the tree that's more than 4 amot away, brought it back to the trunk of the tree, I would have been moving it from a karmelit to a reshut rabim, and that's permissible. So that's how you can move it. So that'll be the difference now between below 10 tefachim and above 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim, it's a reshut yachid. You have your shvita at the trunk of the tree. Yes, you have a reshut yachid in your space, but your space doesn't reach the space that the eruv is in. And since you're in one space and that's another space, you can't get from one to the other. If it's below 10 tefachim, Then we said that it's a Carmelite, or even if it's less than four tefachim wide, and it's a part of the Avir Rishut Rabim, Rashi says you move it pachot midal ramot, you can get it to you. And the Ri says, since it's in a Carmelite, you can grab it off the Carmelite, bring it to you in one shot, and it would only be in violation of Nisa Derabanan. And Ben Hashmashot would not go there on Nisa Derabanan. So that would be our solution to the problem as to why Rava didn't say his din by any Eruv and a tree, but only when the tree is inside the perimeter of the city do we classify it as being a Rishut Yachid, and it won't be a problem. Outside the perimeter city, it could be a problem if the Eruv on the tree is farther than 4 amot away from the trunk of the tree where you assume to have your Shvitah. Where it says, Vayi boyi mighty la derech alav. If you want, or if you wished, why does he have to bring the Eruv on the ground? All he needs to do is climb up into the tree, and then bring the Eruv from the tree over to the trunk area of the tree. The way Rashi phrases it makes it sound like you could bring it back to the base of the tree, which you clearly cannot do, because the chala is in a reshut yachid. It's more than 4 amot away from you. It's more than 10 tefachim high on a 4x4 area. That's a reshut yachid. Your shvita at the base of the tree is a reshut rabim. And even if you want to say it's a reshut yachid because of Rava's fiction by the Erev Tchumim, that's only true for Erev Tchumim. That's not true in Hotza'ah. If you were to carry that challah from the tree in the Rishut Yachid down to the base of the tree, you'd be chayav from moving it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. But what you could do is you could climb up into the tree, grab the challah, and bring it towards the trunk of the tree and leave it on the trunk of the tree. Because the trunk of the tree is either a Rishut Yachid or it could be a Carmelite. Either way, moving it to the trunk of the tree closer to you, where it would be accessible to you inside of the 4 amot that's around the Erev Tchumim, that would be fine because you're doing it inside of the tree. You're doing it within the tree. You're not bringing it down. You're not on the ground taking it off and then moving it over. You're up in the tree. And if you continue to be up in the tree, then you won't have a problem because you're either bringing it through a Carmelite or you're bringing it through a Rishut Yachid the entire time. And that would only be at most an Isur Derabanan. But more likely, might even not be a problem at all, because it's a Rishut Yachid entirely. If the whole branch is more than 4 tefachim wide, beyond 10 tefachim, you could bring it over to the trunk area of the tree, and then you could reach it or access it in the tree. Lo lishtamesh bilan, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbat, that's an Isur Derabanan. Anything that's an Isur Derabanan, we don't worry about, because we're holding like Rabbi, who says that an Isur Derabanan, ben hashmashot, is not an issue. So if you bring it back to the trunk of the tree, or the area of the trunk of the tree, you may not be able to bring it all the way down to the ground, because that's a Rishut Rabim, but you bring it very close. So that's the Gemara's question now. Bring it derech alav. And the Gemara answer is, kish rabim mikatvim alav. It's when that branch has utility for the people in Rishut Rabim. And similar to the Ula, again we saw in the first parak in the Gemara in Shabbat, Damar Ula, amud tish'ab Rishut Rabim. If you have a pillar or a post in the Rishut Rabim that is 9 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim. Technically, that should be a Carmelite. A Carmelite is something that's 4x4 tefachim. If it's above 3 tefachim and below 9 tefachim, it has a din of a Carmelite. But there is this nuance, and that's what Ula introduced us to, is that if it's between 9 and 10 tefachim, it has a special din that it is considered to be part of the Rishut HaRabim. So again, let's start. If you have an area that's 4x4 tefachim above 10, Rishut HaYachid. 4x4 below 3 tefachim, it's part of the Rishut HaRabim. It's Batel de Gabe Akarka, or we call that Aras Michatahi. It's the bumps of the Rishut HaRabim, and people would walk over that space without any problem because it's below 3 tefachim. Therefore, it's considered to be part of the Rishut HaRabim. So if you're above 10, you're in Rishut HaYachid. Below 3, it's considered to be a Rishut Rabim. Between 3 and 9, it's classified as a Carmelite. Carmelite, because it's too high for the Rishut Rabim, it's above the 3 Tvachim. It's not a Rishut Yachid because you're below 10. But why did I say below 9? That's because of this din of Ula. Ula says that a post that is 4x4 and 9 Tvachim high in the Rishut Rabim, it is a Rishut Rabim. That is because the people in Rishut Rabim utilize it. They utilize it because when they're carrying their bags or their loads, they rest their loads on this post that is 9 tefachim high. It happens to be the right size. That 9 tefachim high is the perfect size for resting a load on it. And since you would rest a load on it, it becomes a part of the Rishut Rabim. Part of the Rishut Rabim, not because people walk on it or traverse it, but rather because the people in the Rishut Rabim use it when they're walking the Rishut Rabim to put their loads on it. So that means that between 9 and 10 tefachim, it'll have this strange status of being Rishut Rabim. So from three, under three is part of the Rishut Rabim. 3 to 9 is a Karmelit. 9 to 10 will be again be Rishut Rabim, because the Rabim mikatfim alav, they use it to rest their loads on it. And then above 10 will be a Rishut Yachid. What the Gemara says now is this branch is running between the 9 and 10 tfachim level. It's at the 9 tfachim level. And therefore this bough or branch that extends out to the side is used by the people in Rishut Rabim to rest their loads on it. If they do that, then that area is classified as a Rishut HaRabim. So now what happens is, you have your Eruv on the part of the tree, the elbow, where it starts to extend upward. That's above 10 tfachim. 10 tfachim, 4 by 4, that's Rishut HaYachid. Along the branch, as the branch comes down to the elbow part and then moves along the horizontal, that horizontal area of the branch is actually Rishut HaRabim now. Because people rest on it. They use it. It's 9 tfachim, 4 by 4. They use it to rest their loads on in the Rishut HaRabim. That's Rishut HaRabim. You come back to the trunk area of the tree, then you're in your Rishut HaYachid space, the area where you want your Shvita. So now you have the Eruv in Rishut HaYachid. You're in a Rishut HaYachid. The only problem is there's a Rishut HaRabim sitting between the two of you, even in the tree. Before we said, oh, go up into the tree and you avoid Rishut HaRabim. The answer is that you don't avoid Rishut HaRabim anymore, because the branch itself is Rishut HaRabim. Before, you'd only be in Rishut HaRabim if you were on the base, on the floor. So that would be, solve the problem, get up into the tree, and you'll always be in Rishut HaYachid. The answer of the Gemara is no. That horizontal branch really is in Rishut HaRabim. And in being in Rishut HaRabim, now you have to traverse the Rishut HaRabim. If you go up into the tree and bring your Eruv, you'd have to go through the Rishut HaRabim. The way Rashi says it, he says, V'chi ma'itilei l'malam yasara. So even if you bring the Eruv above 10, derech avira, shel netiya over ba'avir Rishut HaRabim. Then you're passing through it in avir, the airspace of Rishut HaRabim. V'kaimelon. And we learned in Azorek, that was the parak that dealt with the wagons from the Mishkan, about when are you allowed to pass from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid and pass through a Rishut HaRabim. When is that problematic? When is that not problematic? And there, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that Hamoshit, if you pass something through Rishut HaRabim, even though you're above 10 tefachim, that's a problem, because that's what they did in the Mishkan with the wagons. The wagons were above 10 tefachim, and they used to pass the horot of the Mishkan from one wagon to the next. That was from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid, and there was a gap of Rishut HaRabim between them. So even though they were above 10 tefachim, it was still restricted, because that was what was done in the Mishkan. So to over here, if you take your Eruv from the tree up above 10 tefachim, and now you want to move it over to your Rishut HaYachid where you are at the base of the tree, you have to traverse that Rishut HaRabim. Even if you're above 10 tefachim, where there's no more Rishut HaRabim, that is still problematic on Shabbat, because you're not allowed to pass something from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid through an area that is Rishut HaRabim. That's the way Rashi explains it, and what the problem is over here. Tosafot, the Ri, says that he thinks that the explanation is that what does it mean to bring it demaitile derech alav? As opposed to Rashi, who was saying that you bring it from one location to the other through the tree, the Ri suggests that what you could do is, you could go to the place where your Eruv is, that's a Rishut HaYachid. You're at the base of the tree and in Rishut HaRabim. The branch of the tree is a Karmelit. It is 4 by 4 tefachim, and it is under 10 tefachim high. That is a Karmelit. So what the Ri suggests, the Gemara is asking you to do is, take your Eruv that's in the Rishut HaYachid up on the high part of the branch, and put it down on the bough or the branch as it's horizontal. That means you're taking from a Rishut HaYachid and putting it down into a Karmelit. Then, go back to the trunk of the tree, the base there, take it off that branch, and bring it there. You're taking from a Karmelit to a Rishut HaRabim. What are you in violation of? Yisurei derabanan. It's an Yisurei derabanan to move it from Rishut HaYachid to a Karmelit, and from a Karmelit to a Rishut HaRabim. That's only a violation of an Yisurei derabanan. So that's okay, because it's ben hashmashot, we're holding like Rabbi, no problem. What's the answer of the Gemara? That bow is actually 9 tefachim high. And it's 4 by 4, it is actually Rishut HaRabim. Now you've lost the ability to use that solution. You can't take it from the Rishut HaYachid and put it on the bough or the branch and then bring it to the base of the tree, because you now would put it down, take it from Rishut HaYachid, put it in Rishut HaRabim, and then take it to Rishut HaRabim or to Rishut HaYachid again. It doesn't work anymore. So you lost the solution that was suggested. So according to Rashi, we originally wanted you to climb through the tree and get up there. The answer of the Gemara is no, that bough was a Rishut HaRabim, and then you'd be passing from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid, derech Rishut HaRabim. The Ri suggests that the original solution was that branch on the horizontal is a Karmelit. We're asking you to move the Eruv from the Rishut HaYachid to the Karmelit, Karmelit to the base. But then the Gemara says, no, that branch is not a Karmelit, it's actually a Rishut Darabim, and you lose the ability to use that solution. The Reed does ask, why don't you just throw it? If you throw it from where you're up in the Rishut Yachid down to the where your base is, the Rishut Yachid, then it wouldn't be a problem, because you can toss from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid, Terech Rishut Rabim. The only restriction is to pass through a Rishut Rabim, but not to throw it through a Rishut Rabim, because they didn't throw in the Mishkan. The boards were too heavy. They couldn't throw them from one wagon to the other. So therefore, the throwing is only Nisur Darabanan. Or, do it to Le'achar Yad. Put it up on your shoulder. Carry it in some unusual fashion. There are ways to do it with an Nisur Darabanan and get it down there, even if it's a Rishut Rabim. There are ways to get it there. So the Ri makes a distinction here, which is an important distinction. He says, we are not matir any Isur Derabanan. Rabbi says that we're not gozer on Isurei Derabanan, Venash Mashot, that is not a blanket heter, that any Derabanan, gone. No, it's Isurei Derabanan that are, I would say, a little more derivative or away from being in violation of an Isur Doraito. But if you're dealing with an Isur Derabanan, which is on the cusp of an Isur Doraita, there we're not going to let you do that even Benesh Mashot. And that's what he says here. If, Nirlish, B'chol Hanu, the Kevin de Bekal, Yavodi de Isur Doraita, since you could easily come to an Isur Doraita, Afilu Rabbi Modeh de Gazrola Benesh Mashot. Even Rabbi agrees that we put in the Gzera Benesh Mashot. You do it Kalachar Yad, or you put it down on your shoulder when you pass through the Rishut Rabim. If you do some of that function like that, it's so easy to make a mistake and then be in an Isur Doraita. So there, we're not going to say, okay, go ahead and do that, or the possibility of doing that allows you to bring the Eruv down. It has to be a manner in which you do it that is far from being an Isur Doraita, and since it's far from being an Isur Doraita, we waive the Isur Darabanan Ben Hashmashot. But if it's something that's on the edge, on the cusp of being an Isur Doraita, if you do one little thing differently, like a small nuance, all of a sudden you're an Isur Doraita, that we won't let you do Ben Hashmashot. So all these, he has come other suggestions of how to be in violation of Isurei Derabanan and still accomplish it. He says, none of those work because it's just too close. Too close for comfort, and even Rabbi would agree that we don't waive it in that case. Alright, so that's why we have here, Gdu'ula, Damu'ula, Amud Tishab, Rishut Rabim, and Amud is 9, Tfachim Hayin, Rishut Rabim, Rabim, Mekatfim Alav, and the Rabim rests on it, Vizarak. If you throw something then, V'nachal Gabav, Chayav. And it rests on top of it, you're Chayav, because it's landing in Rishut HaRabim. It's considered to be Rishut HaRabim if you're throwing it from Rishut HaYachid to the Rishut HaRabim, or if you are moving it more than 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim and it lands there, you will be Chayav, because that is classified as Rishut HaRabim, and that's what the Gemara answers in terms of this tree. And now the Gemara says, my Rabbi, O my Rabbanan. What is Rabbi and the Rabbanan? We discussed, again, like always in the Gemara quotes you a position, assuming that you know where this position's from, because they assume you know all the Tanaic works. Tanaic works of the Mishnayot, or many times the Braitot. So here, the Gemara goes back now and says, okay, you mentioned Rabbi, who has this position of Benesh Mashot, or not Gozer, and you mentioned the Rabbanan, who say we are Gozer, Benesh Mashot. So my Rabbanan, or my Rabbi, where is this from? The Gemara says, the Tanya, we had a Braita. Not to know, be Ilan, the Malam Yasarat Tfachim, he puts in the tree above 10 Tfachim, Ein Eruvo Eruv. Eruv is no good. Lamatam Yasarat Tfachim, it's below 10 Tfachim, Eruvo Eruv. Vasur lit lo. And you can't take it. Betoch Shlosha. If it's within 3 Tfachim, Mutar lit lo. Then you can take it. So you have here, basically what we did in our Mishnah. You have a tree, if the Eruv is found in the tree above 10 Tfachim, then it's up in Rishut HaYachid. You are making your Shvita at the trunk, base of the trunk of the tree, which is Rishut HaRabim. You can't move it from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. It's not an Eruv. It doesn't work because your Eruv is in the Rishut HaYachid, you're in the Rishut HaRabim, you can't get from one to the other. On the other hand, if it's below 10 Tfachim, then you have only an Isur Drabanan separating between you and your Eruv, because it's a Karmelit, you're in Rishut HaRabim, you're using an Ilan, a tree on Shabbat. Those are issues that are only Isurei Derabanan. And since they are Isurei Derabanan, we don't worry about that. Ben Hashmashot, this is Rabbi. This is the position of Rabbi. If it's less than 3 Tfachim, then not only can you utilize it as your Eruv, you actually can move it. Because that means that your Eruv is sitting in Rishut Rabim. We just said before, then under 3 Tfachim is considered to be part of the Rishut Rabim. So if your Eruv is below 10 Tfachim, but above 3, then it's in a Karmelit. So for an Eruv, it works. For Eruv Tchumim, it works. But if you get there on Shabbat and you want to eat it, you can't eat it. You can't bring it down to the Rishut Rabim, because you'd be moving from a Karmelit to a Rishut Rabim, which is an Isur Derabanan. But if it was placed under three tvachim, then it's in the reshut rabim, and you could even eat it. Because not only did it work as an eruv, it's also in the same reshut, midoraita, or even midorabanan, and therefore you could eat it. So that's what we have so far. Then, nitano bikalkala, he places it into a basket, vitlao beilan, and then he hangs it on the tree, afilu de malami asarat tvachim, even if it's above 10 tvachim, eruvo eruv. It's a good eruv, divrei rabbi. That's the position of rabbi. If you can't move the eruv to where you are, it's not a good eruv. This is the Chachamim's position that we saw before, that even ben hashmashot, the surei d'rabbanan apply. So if you can't get it, if you can't move it from where the eruv is to where you are, even if what's restricting you is an isur d'rabbanan, that's problematic and your eruv doesn't work. Because they don't waive the Yisurei D'Rabbanan ben HaShmashot. Whereas for Rabbi, well, since he waives Yisurei D'Rabbanan, even if you cannot access it and get it there physically, still ben HaShmashot, the only thing separating between where you wanted your Shvitah and the Eruv was an Yisurei D'Rabbanan, that's waived ben HaShmashot, and we don't have a problem. Now, v'chachamim omrim ahai. When the Chachamim argue on Rabbi, on which part of this Breita do they argue on him? Ilema Aseifa. If you say on the latter half of the case, Lema Kasave Rabbanan Stadin Asurin. If they're arguing on the case where you put it in the basket and you hang it on the tree, why do they say that it's problematic? Well, they're going to say it's problematic is because you are using the side of the tree, what we call Stadim of the tree. We had this in the Gemara in Shabbat. A machloket about what you're allowed to use on a tree on Shabbat. There, the Gemara discussed about stadim and sidei stadim, about something that is a derivative of the tree or a double derivative of the tree. And so the Gemara had a machloket as to what you're allowed to use. Are you allowed to use a derivative of the tree or only a double derivative of the tree? The Gemara's conclusion, that's the way we paskin halacha, is that you may not use something that's a derivative of the tree, but you can use something that is a double derivative of the tree. The example they gave is you put a peg or a nail into the tree, then you lean the ladder on that nail or peg, or you hang the hammock from that nail. The hammock is permissible, the ladder is permissible. The nail itself is not permissible, because the nail is one derivative of the tree. The ladder of the hammock is a double derivative, which is mutar. Right here it says, well, if the Chachamim are saying the problem here is this basket hanging on the tree, what they're basically saying is, it's tadim. You have a machloket here about whether something that is a derivative of the tree that's hanging on the side of the tree is mutar or asur. So their answer to Rabbi should have been asur because tzadim are asurim. And if tzadim are asurim, Rabbi says tzadim mutar. The Chachamim say tzadim asurim. And then we could use this to solve our problem in the Gemara Shabbat as to what the din is with regards to tzadim. You have Rabbi who's a yachid versus the Rabbim. The halacha be like Rabbim. Everybody would agree that tzadim are asurim. The fact that the Chachamim don't phrase it that way sounds like that's not what they're addressing in their statement. Then the Gemara says el ha-resha. So if they're talking about the earlier part of the Braita. Ha'ilan heichidami. So then what's the setup of this tree? Idalait be arba'a. If it's not 4x4 tzvachim, then it's a makom patur hu. And a makom patur, even the chachamim agree that you can move something from a makom patur into the reshut rabim, or from a makom patur into the reshut yachid. The only thing we don't allow you to do is to pass something from Reshut HaYachid to the Makom Patur, and then Makom Patur to Reshut HaRabim. There we restricted that, not because it's Asur, but because we're afraid you're going to skip the step of putting in the Makom Patur, and you'll move from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim. But otherwise, it's completely mutar. Makom Patur is exactly what it means. Patur. You can use it. It's a free space, we'll call it. So if the tree is less than 4x4 tefachim, then you're in what we call Makom Patur, in a free space. And if it's in a free space, even the Chachamim would agree that you can move the Eruv from there to the Reshut HaRabim, or down to the base of the tree, without being in any violation of Isur. Since you're permitted to move it, it will work as an Eruv. So that can't be the case. So what is it? Ela, de'it, be'arba'a. If it's 4x4 tefachim wide, then you're back to it being a Carmelite. And if it is a Carmelite, then we understand the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi. Because a Carmelite is an Issur D'Rabbanan to move it from the Carmelite down to your base of the tree, which is a Reshut HaRabim. So for Rabbi, we waive that Ben HaShmashot. For the Chachamim, we don't waive it for Ben HaShmashot. So now I understand the case, but then, Kine Tanobe Kalkala may have it. But then why for Rabbi does putting it inside of a basket help you? Rabbi said, if it's above 10 Tefachim, it's a Reshut HaYachid, and I agree with the Chachamim, then we can't do anything. Your Eruv is in a Reshut HaYachid, you're in a Reshut HaRabim, that's an Issur D'Oraita to get between them, no Eruv. You and your Eruv are in different Rishuyot, nothing to talk about, because we're talking about an Isur D'Oraita, nothing to talk about. Below 10 Fachim, that's a Carmelite. But then Rabbi came along and said, if you put it in a basket, even if it's above 10 tefachim, it works. Well, that means that above 10 tefachim in a basket is better than just being in the tree above 10 tefachim wide. Above 10 tefachim, if the tree is already 4 tefachim wide, it's a reshut yachid. So what does putting it into a basket do for you? How does that solve your problem? It doesn't do anything for you. So I don't understand what the case is over here. So we have a problem here, which is, what are the Chachamim arguing on? Where are they arguing, and what's the situation? If we're saying they're arguing on the latter case here about the basket, they should have phrased it differently. So it must be they're arguing about the first part of the Braita. If they're arguing the first part of the Braita, then what type of tree are we talking about? If we're talking about a tree less than 4 by 4 tefachim, the Chachamim shouldn't argue. If it's more than 4 by 4 tefachim, we're talking about a Karmelit. Then, and above 10, it's Reshut Yechid. Then why, for Rabbi, does the basket solve your problem? The basket shouldn't give you any benefit. So now we don't know what's going on in this Braita. So Amar Ravina, Ravina is going to give us the first solution to this problem. And that is, Amar Ravina, Resha De'it Be'arba'a. First half of the Braita is a case where it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide. Seifa, the latter half, is the Le'it Be'arba'a. That you don't have 4x4 tzvachim. Case is, v'kalkolam mashlimato d'arba'a. And the basket completes it to make it 4 tzvachim wide. V'rabi, savar lak Rabbi Meir, v'savar lak Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi holds like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So, we'll start here. The first case in the Braita is talking about a case where it is 4x4 tzvachim. And now we understand the machloka between Rabbi and the Chachamim in the first half of the Braita. Because if it's below 10 tzvachim, 4x4, karmelit. For Rabbi, no problem. For the Chachamim, it's a problem. In the case where it's above 10 tefachim reshut yachid, it's a problem for Rabbi and the Chachamim. So that'll work well in the first two cases of the Braita. We understand their machloket. In the latter half of the Braita, where we said that it is not 4x4 tefachim, that's what Ravina suggests, it's less than 4x4 tefachim. So that is why Rabbi says when it's in a basket, you can even have it above 10 tefachim. So what happened there? Why does the basket change the dynamic? The basket changes the dynamic because until this point, it wasn't 4x4 tefachim. The basket now makes it into an area that is 4x4 tefachim. Okay, why does that matter? That matters because Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. We bumped into both of them before, which is, Savar lak Rabbi Meir, he holds like Rabbi Meir, Damar Chotukim Lahashlim. Rabbi Meir, who says that you carve out, when you have an area that is open but not completely open, we look as if you carve out the area that's closed and look at it as if it's open. We had that earlier in the Masechta with regards to a doorway. If you have a doorway that has an arch in it, the doorway to meet the minimum standards of a doorway has to be 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high. Rabbi Meir over there said, if you have an archway at the top that narrows it below 4 tefachim before you reach the 10, we say chokukim lashlim. We look at it as if the archway isn't there, it's opened up. And it's as if you have a doorway that's 4 wide and 10 high. We carve out that space to make it as if you have the full doorway. Chachamim disagree. But Rabbi Meir says, when you have areas that are adjacent, one of the areas is an open space, the other area is a closed space, we look at it as if you carve into the closed space to complete the area that you need. So that's number one. Rabbi holds, like Rabbi Meir, that we say chokakim lashlim. Why do you need this chokakim lashlim? Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that an Eruv is not considered to be an Eruv unless it's sitting on a space that is 4x4 tefachim. Because it has to be sitting in a makom that is considered to be chashuv. It's considered to be significant. So now, if that's the case, what Rabbi is saying is, in a case where the tree is less than 4x4 tefachim, and it's now above 10 tefachim, you can't do anything because this is not a real Eruv. The Eruv is sitting on something that is not considered to be a place that is chashuv. So if you're not sitting on a place that's chashuv, you don't have an Eruv. How do I solve that problem? I solve that problem by putting a basket on the side of the tree. Putting a basket on the side of the tree, between the basket and the tree, I have my space of 4 tefachim. Since between the basket and the tree, I have my 4 tefachim by saying chokukim lashlim, like Rabbi Meir, by carving into the tree. Therefore now I have a space of 4 tefachim, and my Eruv is in that space. Now, in terms of it being a reshut yachid, well, if it's a reshut yachid, then why does that help you? Rashi points out it's not a real reshut yachid. Even though it's a space that's 4x4 tefachim, and it makes it significant to put the Eruv there, you don't really have a reshut yachid. Why don't you have a reshut yachid? So Rashi says, for one reason, Tosafot says a different reason, Rashi says, Umiyu, a second line in Rashi on the Amud Bet, Umiyu, Reshut Yechid Gmura Lo Havi, What you have is the tree is narrow at the bottom, less than 4 tefachim, and all of a sudden at the top you have like a plank that is 4 tefachim wide by putting the basket there. So at the base of the tree, you're less than 4 tefachim. You get up to the top, the basket plus the tree now makes it 4 tefachim up at the top. But since it's 4 tefachim up at the top and not on the base, Rashi says it's not a real Rishut Yechid. It just gives you a significant location to place down your A-roof. So from the perspective of the A-roof, you now have a 4 tefachim space. From the perspective of access, that is not classified as a Rishut Yechid. Since it's not classified as a Rishut Yechid, you can now move your A-roof, even if it's above 10 tefachim, down to where you are at the base of the tree, that is a Rishut HaRabim. So that's the way Rashi solves the problem. Tosafot says that he's not sure that Rashi's right about that explanation. He says, "Velo Nira." And he says that rather, that Kevan de l'rochav shlosha lobake gdim, v'tzarech lomar be'in tachtito gimel. So Tosafot says that if there was 3 tefachim wide at the base, that it would work, and it would be a full Rishut HaYachid. The point is that if it's less than 3 tefachim, then it becomes something that gedim bokim bo. It's a space that a gedim are bokim bo, and it would annul or undermine the space of Rishut HaYachid. We saw this before in the Gemara, that if, even if you have a mechitza that's hanging, if the gedim can get under it or move under it, they remove the sense of being Rishut HaYachid. And he says the same thing here. If that space up above, that's 4 tefachim wide, the gedim can pass under it, then it's going to ruin it as a Rishut HaYachid, assuming that the base of the tree is not at least 3 tefachim wide. If it's 3 tefachim wide, then we don't have a problem. So he says here, it must be less than 3 tefachim wide. So that's why Rashi or Tosfot solved the problem of access, which is to say that it's not a real Rishut HaYachid, but it meets the requirements of an Eruv. Obviously, the Chachamim will disagree with Rabbi here, because they won't hold the Rabbi Meir of saying Chokim Lashlim. Since they don't say Chokim Lashlim, they don't have a significant space on which the Eruv is sitting, and therefore it's not an Eruv. So then you have two parts to the Braita. The first part of the Braita is an argument about when you have an Isur Durabanan separating between you and your Eruv, more than 4 Tefachim wide, a Carmelite. Does that work or not? Rabbi says yes, the Chachamim say no. The latter half of the Braita will be arguing a case where the tree is not 4 Tefachim wide, and the argument is whether we say Chokim Lashlim or we don't say Chokim Lashlim. Everybody agrees you need at least the space of 4 Tefachim wide to sit the Eruv in. Do you say Chokim Lashlim and you do sit it there? Between the basket and the tree, you have the 4 Tefachim and you're okay? That's Rabbi. Or going to the Chachamim will say no. But we don't say Chokim Lashlim. You don't have a significant space for the Eruv to sit on. You don't have an Eruv because it's not sitting on a significant location. The fact that you can move it between the above 10 Tefachim down to the base is because it's not a real Rishut HaYachid. Either because of Rashi who says that the base isn't 4 Tefachim wide, only the top is. Or according to Tosafot, who says it's not 3 Tefachim wide, so you have a problem of Gedim, Bokim, Bo. So the Gemara says, my Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we find Rabbi Yehuda? Where is this position of Rabbi Yehuda found? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Na'atz Korah, Birshut HaRabim. Person puts a beam, a post, in Rishut HaRabim. Ve'niach Eruvo Alea. And he puts his Eruv on top of it. Gvo Ayud, Rachva Dalid. If it's 10 tefachim high and 4 wide, Eruvo Eruv. Then you have a good Eruv. Ve'im Lav, if not, Ein Eruvo Eruv. It's not an Eruv anymore. So now, what was the problem here? He gave two conditions for the Eruv to be an Eruv. It has to be above 10 tefachim. It has to be 4 by 4 wide. He says, if it's above 10 and 4 by 4 wide, you have a good Eruv. Then the Gemara says now, wait a minute, I don't understand. If you don't meet one of those requirements, you're actually in a better position. And that's what the Gemara says now, Adarabba. It should be just the opposite. Huv Eruvo b'makom echad. If you violate one of those things, let's say it's less than 10 tefachim. It's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, and now you're in a less than 4 by 4 space. It's a makom tor, even if it's 4 by 4 space, it's a Carmelite, or it's a part of the Rishut HaRabim. So either way, you're in a much better position if it's lower down than when it's higher up. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that, oh, you must have it to be 10 high and 4 by 4 wide? The Gemara's answer is, Elo hachi kamar. Gvoa asara, if it's above 10, tzirich shei b'rosha arba'a. Then the top has to have 4 by 4. Ein gvoa asara, if it's under 10 tefachim, ein tzirich shei b'rosha arba'a. Then you don't need a 4 by 4 space. So if it's above 10 tefachim, then it's in a Rishut HaYachid. Now, if it has a 4x4 space, you have a significant location, the Eruv is good. If you don't have 4x4 space, it's like it's hanging in the air. It's like the Eruv is suspended in the air, and that doesn't gives you nothing. You don't have an Eruv anymore, because your Eruv is like floating in the air. That's no good. Below 10 tefachim, if it's 4x4, you have a Carmelite, and then you run into the Machloket Rabbi and the Chachamim. If it's less than 10, 4x4 tefachim, then it's as if it's floating in the air. Well, if it's floating in the air in the Reshut HaRabim, we don't have a problem, because you are in the Reshut HaRabim. So then you and your Eruv are in the same location. And Rashi says something interesting over here. He says that, Kevan de lamata masara, have you like a man de mancha aradamya? It's as if it's sitting on the ground. The chola mata miyut, anything under a tenth of a chin, pluto kemasha huncha damya. That's a principle we saw in Shabbat, that when something is in motion, it's as if it's moving through discrete positions. So Rashi says, if you have something that's in the airspace of Reshut HaRabim, it's as if it's on the ground already. As if it's laying on the ground, and therefore if your Eruv is suspended in the Reshut HaRabim, the airspace of the Reshut HaRabim, we don't worry about that, because it's you're on the Reshut HaRabim on the ground, and your Eruv is as if it's on the ground. So there it's okay. Once you get above 10 Tefachim, then you're out of the Reshut HaRabim. If you're out of the Reshut HaRabim and now it's suspended in the air, you have a problem. We need the Eruv to be on something significant. You need an area that is 4x4 Tefachim. Right now, what about the fact that you're in Reshut HaRabim and the Eruv is up in the Reshut HaYachid? You have two solutions I mentioned before. One solution is to say that you are, want your Shvita at the top. The other solution is to say, like Rava before, that you get your 4 Amot around the Eruv and that makes it into a Reshut HaYachid. So even though you're at the base and your Eruv is up top on a 4x4 area and Reshut HaYachid, since your space goes up to the top, your Ola de Rakia, your 4 Amot, then you're both in Reshut HaYachid, at least fictitiously for Eruv Chumim, you're both in Reshut HaYachid and it's fine. Because you're not outside of your 4 Amot like we set up the case before by the tree. So now that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Where'd he get it from? Kiman. So who's this like? Delo k'Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. This is not like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Na'etz Kana b'Reshut HaRabim, if you put a post in the Reshut HaRabim, Ve'niach b'Rosho Treskal, and on the top you put a basket, V'zarak Menach Al Gabav, and then that basket is above 10 Tefachim, 4x4 wide, and it lands in the basket, Chayav. You're Chayav, because that's considered to be a Reshut HaYachid, be a complete Reshut HaYachid. So what Rashi said before was, that when you have this 4x4 space on the top of the post, that's not considered to be a Reshut HaYachid, because the base is not 4 Tefachim wide. So therefore, on top is considered to be a Makom Chashuv for Yeruv, but it's not considered to be a Reshut HaYachid. Here we have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda coming along and saying, that as a din of Reshut HaYachid Doraita. When you have a basket sitting on top of a post, 4x4 Tefachim, that's a Reshut HaYachid Doraita. So now we have a difference in opinion. We have, before, the position of Rabbi suggesting that when you have 4x4 Tefachim on top of a post, then that is considered to be a Makom Chashuv for a roof, but it's not a Reshut HaYachid, a real Reshut HaYachid. Now we have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda coming along and saying if you have a 4x4 space on top of a post, you have a real Reshut HaYachid and you're Chayav. If you throw something Reshut HaRabim and it lands on there, you move from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid, it's a real Reshut HaYachid. Despite the fact that the base is narrower, according to Tosafot, narrower than 3 Tefachim, according to Rashi, narrower than 4 Tefachim, you don't have a Reshut HaYachid over here. So now we have a difference of opinion between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi says, Afilu Teima Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he could agree with this position of Rabbi, because there's a difference in the way we set it up over here. That is, Hatam Hadran Mechitzata. Hacha Lo Hadran Mechitzata. Over there, when you use the basket has walls. When the basket has walls, we can apply the principle of gudachit. Gudachit means we drop it down. So since the basket has walls, we look at it as if the walls of the basket drop down to the base. And it's as if you have a 4x4 tefachim wide post all the way up. And that's why it's classified as a reshut hayachid on the top, because you have walls, and we look at the walls as if they drop to the base. In our case over here, the 4 tefachim wide is not made up of walls. It's not necessarily made up of a basket. It's made up of the tree trunk itself. So you don't have walls on the side to drop down and say gudachit. We simply have an area that's 4x4 tefachim wide without the walls to say that it would drop down. So we could distinguish in the cases. When you have a basket on top of a post, the basket is 4x4 and the walls of the basket make it as if the 4x4 drops to the ground. And now you have a full-fledged Reshut HaYachid. On the other hand, if you have a case where on top of this you have a 4x4 space, but there's no walls to make up that 4x4 space, then we will say up there that's a Makom Chashuv, but it's not a Reshut HaYachid, because you don't have walls that drop down all the way to the ground that give you that spacing of 4x4 Tefachim. So even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, we could have him agree with this position of Rabbi. that in some cases it will be a reshut yachid, in some cases it will not be a reshut yachid. And even though over here in our case, Ravina explained that there's a kalkala, there is a basket there that is near the tree, that still doesn't help you, because the basket by itself does not have the requisite 4x4 tvachim. It's chokokim lashlim, that when we add in the pillar to the basket, that's how we end up with the 4x4 tvachim. And as Rashi points out, we don't say gurachit, that the walls of the basket go down and chokokim lashlim together. You can't say, oh, the baskets of the wall go down, plus you carve into the tree, and that's also a wall going down, because we're not mitzdareif those two items. So it's either we're using chokokim lashlim or using gurachit, we're not going to put the two of them together to end up with mechitzot. And that's why in the case of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, you have mechitzot, because you have a full basket that is 4x4 tvachim. Whereas by the case of Rabbi in the Braita, according to the way Ravina is explaining, we only have a basket that's less than the requisite 4x4 tvachim, and only with the addition of chokim lashlim of the tree do we get to the requisite 4x4 tvachim, and you're missing the gurachit that applies to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. But they're talking about different cases, and therefore they don't necessarily have to disagree. That's the first solution. Ravina is the first solution to our braita about what the machloket between the chachamim and Rabbi is. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar. Yirmiya says, Shaini kalgala, hoil v'yachol in toto, o l'aviyah l'toch hasara. Rabbi Yirmiya says, no. The issue here is, everything is 4x4 tvachim over here. And why does Rabbi think the basket is okay? If the basket is 4x4 tvachim, and then you're above 10 tvachim, you're in reshut yachid. Even Rabbi agrees you can't move the Eruv from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. So then why isn't it a problem? The answer is that you could tilt the basket. The basket has length to it. So yes, it's sitting above 10 Tfachim. But if you turn the basket over, if you're able to flip the basket, it will bring the mouth of the basket below 10 Tfachim. So since if you flip the basket, it brings it below the 10 Tfachim space, that's why it is permissible to use it according to Rabbi. So Yoti Rapapa, Vikamar Lahash Maitata, he said over this memra. Eitve Rav Barshava the Rapapa. Rav Barshava asked Rapapa on this. Ketzad Huose. He quotes a Mishnah from later on in the Masechta, where you have 2 days in a row that are Kadosh. You have Shabbat and Yom Tov, or Yom Tov and then Shabbat. 2 days in a row, then you want to put out an Eruv. Ketzad Huose. Molichol Berishon. You take it out on the first day. Umachshich Alav. And you wait for it to get dark there. Now, it's not you personally taking it out, because if you personally take it out, you don't need the bread. You can do it yourself. You just sit there, and it becomes your new location. So you sent it with someone, and they went out on the first day and waited until it got dark. Vinotlo. Then you bring it home. Uvalo b'sheni. And then you come on the second day, machshich alav, and you leave it there during ben hashmashot. V'ochlo. Then you can eat it, uvalo. This is a case where it's Yom Tov first, then Shabbat. Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. So he carries it out on the first Erev Yom Tov. Waits there, ben hashmashot, with the challah. He has an eruv for Yom Tov. Comes back home with the challah. The next day he goes out before Shabbat with the challah. Waits there, ben hashmashot, until Shabbat comes in. He has an eruv for Shabbat. Can't bring the challah back anymore because it's Shabbat. You can't carry on Shabbat. So he can eat it there if he wants. He doesn't have to, but if he wants to, he can eat it there, or he can leave it there. That's how he creates the eruv. So Amai, why does he need to do that? Kevan di bayam tuye matim matile afagav lo amtiye. He says, if you're willing to say hoil, if you're willing to say if, we look at it as if it's done. So here, by the basket. If you tip the basket over, the mouth of the basket will be below 10 tvachim. So we look at it as if the Eruv is below 10 tvachim. Because you could have tipped the basket. Not that you did, but you could have. Since you could have, it's as if you did. So he says, I have a better thing. Since you could have taken the Eruv out to the location, even though you didn't, it's as if you took it out. We never say that. Here we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Huose, Molichol Berishon. You walk it out there. Why do you have to walk it out there? The fact that you could have walked it out there is enough to be as if you did walk it out there. If you're willing to say this as if, Hoil, by the basket, you should be able to say Hoil here, as if I walked it out. Yet the Mishnah demands that you physically walk it out there. So that's Rav Barshava's question to Rav Papa. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera says, Gzera Yishuv Yom Tov Shechali Otachar Shabbat. Gzera is because of the case of Yom Tov that comes after Shabbat. In the scenario that I described, Yom Tov came before Shabbat. When Yom Tov comes before Shabbat, you're able to carry the Eruv out there, both before Yom Tov bring it back, and then for Erev Shabbat, you can carry it out there before Shabbat, because it's Yom Tov still. But if the situation was reversed, it wouldn't work. Because if Yom Tov is on Sunday, Yom Tov being on Sunday, when you need to carry the Eruv out is Erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov is Shabbat. On Shabbat, you cannot carry the Eruv out there. So we can't say it's as if he carried it out there, because he cannot carry it out there. So since in a scenario where Yom Tov comes out after Shabbat, you cannot carry it out there, and you cannot say as if, they were gozer in all cases to say we don't use this principle as if you took it out. Because there are going to be situations where it won't work. And since there are situations where it won't work, we won't let you use this as if. So the as if by the basket we will say, but the as if by carrying it out, we will not say because of this problem of Yom Tov Achar Shabbat. Rashi and Tosafot argue over here as to why the Gemara brought the example of this Mishnah from later on. This Mishnah later on in the Gemara, Ketzad Hu Oseh Molichol B'Rishon. Why did they bring this? There are many other cases they could have brought about carrying an Eruv out. We're replete with Mishnayot about that you have to take your Eruv out to that location. Why did they pick this particular Mishnah? Rashi claims they picked this particular Mishnah because Mishom Delotznan B'Mishnah Achrita Holechet Eruv Behedja. There's no other Mishnah that explicitly says Molicho, that he has to walk it out there. It's an assumption that when you put, meaning you put the Eruv out there is that you walk it out there. But it's not an absolute term that's written in the Mishnah. This is the only Mishnah where it says Molicho B'Rishon. You have to physically walk it out there. So that's why Rashi says the Gemara about this is the question, because here it's evidence of the fact that the Mishnah thinks you have to walk it out there, not as if. Tosfot, on the other hand, says, Tari Nira Dafka Mi Yom Tov Parech. The reason that they ask from Yom Tov, Aval Meha De Be'ir Holecha Deruv La'ba La'erev, Be'erev Shabbat, Lo Matzei Mifrach. Da Ben Shmashot, Shehu Shat Kniyat Eruv, Lo Matzei Lam Tuyei Hatam, Mishum Iser Hotza'ah. Says you have a problem. The reason the Gemara brought this Mishnah is because this Mishnah is speaking about Yom Tov. Other Mishnayot and Erevin are talking about Shabbat. And they would not be good evidence. Because when you want to put your Eruv out on Erev Shabbat, what's going to happen? You want to take it out there on Erev Shabbat? I could have walked it out there on Erev Shabbat. It doesn't matter that you could have walked it on Erev Shabbat. When do you need it there? You need it Ben Shmashot. Ben Shmashot on Erev Shabbat, you couldn't have walked it out there. To walk your Eruv from where you are to the location you want it is an Isur D'oraita. An Isur D'oraita to carry, that Ben Shmashot we don't allow. We don't waive that Ben Shmashot. So Tosafot says that you couldn't have brought the other Mishnayot as evidence because they're all talking about Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, everybody agrees we wouldn't say as if. Because as if doesn't work. Because you couldn't have taken, you can't say as if I walked it out. You couldn't have walked it out. So then you can't say as if I walked it out. So the reason that Gemara brought this one in particular is because this one speaks about Yom Tov. In Yom Tov, you can apply that principle as if. Because you could have walked it out, Ben Shmashot, because it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov has no restriction on carrying. Since there's no restriction on carrying, therefore, it brings that case down. Now, V'od Nira L'ri, D'af, K'Shvitato B'Rishut Rabim, Tzriach L'Holicho, Gam L'Rebi, Ad Makom Shvitato, Mo D'Rebi, Yesh L'Achmir B'Shvut, Pachot Mi'Arba Amutav. K'mode Shemode B'Kana, D'Gazer Shem Yiktom, Mishum D'Bekal, Yavol D'Dei Yisur Shabbat D'Oraita. Rashi said before, okay, you know what? You can carry something less than 4 amot at a time. So maybe even on Erev Shabbat you could get it out there. There's an Isur to carry on Shabbat. That's when it's an Isur D'Oraita. If you carry it all the way out. What happens if you walk less than 4 amot, less than 4 amot, less than 4? That's an Isur D'Rabbanan. Isur D'Rabbanan, Ben Shmashot, you could have accomplished it. So maybe according to Rabbi, you could have this as if case on an Erev Shabbat. What's the answer? The answer is because Rabbi, we said before, is gozer in certain cases of the Rabbanan's Ben Shmashot. And that's what Tosafot says here. This is one of those cases. This is one of the cases because it's something easily that will end up in Isur D'Oraita. So even Rabbi would agree on Erev Shabbat, we couldn't say as if. Because the as if, waving the Rabbanan here is not the Rabbanan that Rebbe's willing to be waving. So that's why Tosafot says there's a difference here between why they use this Mishnah as opposed to the other Mishnah. Rashi says the reason is because it's the only one that says explicitly Molicho. Tosafot says it's the only Mishnah dealing with Yom Tov and not Shabbat. And by Shabbat you can't say as if. Only by Yom Tov can you say as if. And the answer is that you're right. It doesn't say as if because where goes there on every Yom Tov, otu Yom Tov Shachar Shabbat. Goes there in a case where Yom Tov falls out of Shabbat and it wouldn't work the as if. Therefore in every Yom Tov we preclude you from using that principle. But in Achanami, the principle itself would have worked. The only reason that we don't apply it is because we don't want you to get into a position where Yom Tov is after Shabbat, that it wouldn't work there. Okay, we'll stop over here.